It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. Maybe you want to run for office, but you're not sure how to do it. You've got some great ideas. You're a hard worker. You want to serve your community, but you really have no idea where to begin. I have been invited to speak at several Young Americans for Liberty YOW conferences over the years, and it has been an incredible group of people that I have gotten to meet, particularly some of the college students who are very interested and invested in politics and their communities. And this organization has been so good at spotting talent and helping knock on doors and fund campaigns for people who are very liberty-minded, which obviously those are the kind of people we want holding elective office. Sean Tima joins me. He is Chief Operating Officer of YOW. Hello.
Kennedy, great to be here.
What's
Thanks for
happening?
Having me. You know, just enjoying the Big Apple, beautiful New York City, and helping you save the world, I suppose.
Yeah. So tell me about how do you describe your organization? Because I'm a philosophical libertarian, so I get along with liberty-minded conservatives and Republicans and certainly with people who are affiliated with the Libertarian Party, but it seems like you are not necessarily just party-based. How would you describe how you find candidates and how you support them?
Absolutely. So for us, liberty means Ron Paul's ideas. We were born out of Students for Ron Paul in 2008. To keep the momentum going on campus for students who are excited about the simple ideas of don't hurt people, don't take their stuff, free markets and free people, peace and prosperity. Mm-hmm. And what we do is three things. We build a youth army by recruiting students on college campuses across the country who are excited to lead and learn about the ideas of liberty. Mm-hmm. And then we get as many as we can out there knocking on doors to try and help elect liberty candidates to state rep and state senate. So focusing totally on the state level. And then working with those legislators to pass transformative liberty legislation, mm-hmm. universal school choice, real criminal justice reform, economic prosperity legislation like abolishing income taxes, abolishing property taxes, and really trying to turn states into what we call liberty lighthouse states, states that are going to give California and New York a run for their money
and
to be as good for liberty as they are for tyranny.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who are leaving states like that because they don't feel as safe as they used to. The taxes are much higher, but the problems are also directly proportional to the taxes. And I don't understand how these lawmakers in those states who are, you know, mostly part of the Democrat Party, especially in California, it is one party, how they don't see the correlation between the taxes they raise, the laws they pass, the infringement on liberty, and people leaving the state. It's shocking to me.
Yeah, well, I think they get it. But they're motivated. Politicians are motivated by three things. They want to get elected, reelected, and elected to higher office, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes that means the best thing to do is do nothing or maintain the status quo. So that way they don't upset the apple cart. They protect their friends. And the legislators that our students are working to help get elected and help succeed are legislators that aren't happy with the status quo. They don't just want a little bit of school choice or a little bit of a tax reduction. They want the whole enchilada. They want universal school choice. They want to abolish these taxes. They want to abolish, you know, practices like civil asset forfeiture and no-knock warrants, common sense criminal justice reform that we can achieve if we just have courageous legislators standing up and being supported.
So let's talk about that, because they're doing it wrong in places like LA County and New York City. And you constantly see the same violent people reoffending. You know, it's like the New York Post has articles every day about, you know, a guy in a neighborhood who's been arrested time after time after time, but he gets out, you know, always charged with misdemeanors and keeps doing the same thing. And it makes everyone unsafe. So it's like they're constantly violating the golden axioms of liberty. Don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. But there's no punishment for it. So it seems like the super hardcore pro-criminalization state, those people want to put everyone in jail. And, you know, that creates an imbalance. But then you have the George Gascons and the Alvin Braggs of the world, these liberal district attorneys, and they don't want to prosecute anyone. So how does liberty, like, what is a balanced liberty criminal justice reform approach?
Absolutely. And you're so right. The pendulum swings way too far one way, way too far the other way. You know, in the Chase of Boudin era of San Francisco, people could steal anywhere under $1,000 and not get prosecuted.
Still.
Of course, then
I
you
mean,
have
they still, that's a law on the books in California that there are a lot of Democrat mayors who are trying to adjust that law so people can be put away who are part of this, you know, organized retail theft where they now, like, as long as they don't go above 950, it's a misdemeanor.
Exactly. And of course, that doesn't mean, like you said, that the answer is to throw people away for two life sentences for simply dealing marijuana. It's ridiculous. So the liberty answer to this is simply to just meet in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. To find the policies that we all agree are ridiculous, that policies that are consistent with the Constitution, and say, you know what, let's make the police have a warrant before they're able to search your car or your home. Let's reduce, if not eliminate, the criminalization and mass incarceration for nonviolent people and focus on the people who are truly hurting people and taking their stuff.
Yeah, the violent people, the ones who get out and then they get out again and kill someone, that's really frustrating. And I understand that frustration because I live in a big city. I live in Manhattan and I see creepy people all the time. And the level of awareness you have to have in a city like this, I think that much stress on society, it's unhealthy at some point because we don't have the sense of well-being that we had at different eras in New York City's history. So would knocking on doors in a place like New York be more effective? I mean, is there a chance that using your approach, you could actually change the prosecution and the criminal element here in New York?
Anything's possible. And I would love to see if students are listening who are in LA County, in New York City, you can get out there right now and start making phone calls, you know, to your district attorney's office, to your representative's office, and make your voice heard. You know, in DC, they get 100 calls in a day, these federal representatives, they might start to change their votes. In state-based offices, it can be just a dozen calls a day. We all have incredible agency to control the environment that these politicians are in.
It doesn't occur to most people. It really, I mean, now that you're talking about that, I saw Alvin Bragg at a steakhouse around the corner here, and I went up to him and I said, "You are ruining the city. You are single-handedly ruined." And he looked surprised that someone would come up to him and say that, because normally he's pretty insulated. I think he thought at a swanky steakhouse, he wasn't going to hear it. But it's like, I flipped off Eric Swalwell. I gave Gavin Newsom a lecture. Anytime I come up to someone who is powerful, I always tell them how I feel, because, you know, we are paying them. They are working for us. It is their job to listen to our complaints and grievances. And, you know, usually they give a shellacked, polished answer, but I would like them to change things. And I'm really curious as to whether or not door knocking will help.
Don't go anywhere. More Kennedy Saves the World right after this.
So,
from the Fox News Podcasts Network, stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
If a candidate doesn't have a lot of money, but they have a lot of energy and some good friends, is that enough to move the needle in terms of who is elected? And tell us about, like, one of your success stories where, you know, someone was maybe unknown and they went to hold office because of working with Yale and some of your student groups, knocking on doors and changing people's minds that way.
Absolutely. So plenty of candidates. And to answer your earlier question, it really just all depends on the district and on that voter universe. Mm-hmm. But you've got situations like in New Hampshire a couple of years ago, a guy named Robert Forsyth was running for office. Yale students, you know, about six of them, they went out and specifically knocked for about 6 weeks in his district. And on election day, Robert won by just 4 votes.
Wow.
Right? So when you run studies, these studies show that about a 40% of all of the voters who come out and choose to vote for a candidate, right, 40% can be influenced by someone knocking at their door and leaving a positive impression of that candidate and getting that name ID up. And people don't really know, generally speaking, who their state rep, state senator is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it at you. Do you know who your state representative is, Kennedy? You
yes.
do. Of course you do,
yes.
right? But most people don't, right? And so if you can just raise name ID awareness and leave a positive impression at the door. That is enough to swing a race by anywhere by 6 to 15% with the door knocking programs we're running. And so it can make a difference. You've got to have basic viability. You've got to have candidates raising money. Of course, for us to, you know, send student door knockers out there to support them, they've got to be principled as well. They've got just not going to be good votes or people that we can relatively trust. They're going to be people who are going to be courageous, who are going to force those roll call votes, who are going to get the other politicians on the record when it comes to something like school choice or abolishing civil asset forfeiture. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, you know, you either control the environment the politicians are in or you replace them. Right. And so if you want to get people elected,
you're
not
replacing them. Yes, absolutely. And especially like if someone is coming from a principled liberty minded foundation, I would love for those people to be the replacers. So what's the ratio of people you work with by party breakdown? Like, is it 30% libertarian, 60% Republican, 10% Democrat? How does it break down for you guys?
Yeah. So the way that pans out is I would love to see, you know, a Liberty Democrat run.
Sure.
I would love to see a, you know, viable third party candidate run. The problem with our system right now is the Democratic Party is way too far gone. And if you break from the tribe at all, you'll be shunned. I just met a great guy in New Hampshire, Michael Garcia. He was a Liberty Democrat. He voted for Liberty in New Hampshire, and the party threw him out, ate him alive, and ran someone against him, right? So the Democratic Party is just not in a position for Liberty candidates. Third parties, they're just tracking, not viable, even at the state level, right? So we find most of our operations and our candidates that we end up supporting, they run in the Republican Party, but that doesn't mean that they blindly hold up any party dogma. They're here to get the ideas of Ron Paul out there, to reduce government, and to just leave people alone. I think that's what most Americans want anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what would you rather have, a charger or a bicycle? It's like most people, a lot of people, I mean, there are a lot of libertarians like, no, I'm a purist, I'm riding the bicycle, and that's how I'm going to get to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But there are liberty-minded Republicans like, yeah, I gotta have a little bit of horsepower if I'm going to get some stuff done. And I know there are libertarians who disagree with that. I would much rather see better outcomes. You know, it's like, I'm not going to become a member of the Republican Party, maybe ever again. I was for a while, and then I'm a non-affiliated voter, and I'm very happy with that. And I love voting for candidates in different parties whom I agree with. And I think that we are going to move to a more coalition-style government. Certainly, we'll start at the state level if we have more ranked choice voting. And then it will, by force, by, you know, through sheer critical mass, it will have an effect on our federal elections. But the ultimate federal election is president, and we've got some pretty dire choices right now. Aside from the people running, maybe people you've talked to, people that you're influenced and inspired by, like deeply inspired by, who would you like to see run for and win the presidency?
Yes. So I'll answer that question. I will say to preface it that one of the things that we teach students, right, is if you really want to affect change and you really want to see liberty in your lifetime, forget about DC. It's all about the states. That's an environment you can control. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, you know, these just totalitarian disasters like the COVID lockdowns and the shutdowns, you know, that was more of the governor and the local town board than it was Washington, DC, keeping you in your house. So that being said, you know, people who have really inspired me, obviously, you know, Ron Paul in 2008, 2012 would have solved a lot of problems. You know, my good friend Eric Brakey, would love to see him take a shot for it one of these days. Yep. I don't know if he will, but, you know, a lot of the candidates that we, you know, push and help to get elected are in the mold of Ron and Eric. And personally, I think my favorite politician of all time, they say the perfect politician doesn't exist, but we all know about that dog who was the mayor of that small town, I think in Minnesota, maybe. You know, I would love to see you know, Winston or whatever his name was, Rover, in the Oval Office. He'd be twice as effective as anybody out there, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think he could be very easily swayed with treats.
No, fair point. Fair point. But so are the politicians.
They're even worse.
So are the politicians.
Yeah. And I guess they're all leg humpers. So he'd be in good company.
And Sean, of course, you know, I'd love to see you up there too, but you're busy saving the world.
That's right.
Right. You know, we're focused on America.
My shoulders are exhausted. That's why I have to swim so much. Cause I gotta keep these Atlas shoulders primed and ready. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Where can people find you? Where would you like to see people go to hear about your candidates and your message?
Absolutely. YALiberty.org is our website. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're just about everywhere with the handle @YALiberty. So check us out. We'd love to see you get involved.
Well, I will get involved. Thank you, Sean Timo. Always good to talk to you.
You as well.
This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick, the show, as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform, and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.